Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
In Mark 16, we have one of the passages, Matthew as well. It's another passage where we have what we call the Great Commission, you know, go into all the world. It's right here in verse 15. And preach the good news to everyone, everywhere. And anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. And verse 19 says, when the Lord had finished talking with him, he was taken up into heaven. That's the ascension. Set down at the right, the place of honor at God's right hand. And the disciples, verse 20, I want you to see this. And the disciples went where? Where? The disciples went where? So the disciples went everywhere and they preached and something was happening. What was happening? And the Lord worked with them. Where did the Lord work with them? Everywhere. Everywhere. Wherever they went, the Lord was working with them. Is there anyone in this room that has that kind of a testimony? That wherever I've been, God has been working with me. I have been working with God. I am not, when Jesus said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, what is he saying? He's not just saying, I'm hanging out up in heaven at God's right hand. He's also saying, my Holy Spirit is with you and in you, and you will never be left alone. I'm going to sustain you. I am working with you. Isn't that amazing that God would work with us? Say, well, does that mean we always get it right? No. And you know when I don't get it right? It's when I steer off the trail and try it on my own. Hey, God, I have a great idea for you. Listen up, God. I've got a great plan. And God is never impressed with my great plan. And let me tell you why. I'm beginning to learn. I'm a slow learner, but I'm beginning to learn. What I'm beginning to learn is when I have a great plan, I plan based upon what I see, what I understand, what is within my reach, what is my realm of opportunities, who I know. I work with what is tangible in my hands. But God's plan most often calls us beyond all of our resources. And we look at our life and we go, ah, I can't do that. And God says, that's right. It's we. It's not you. It's we. I didn't call you to do this. We will do this. Together, your husband, you have family, your wife, you have children, you have challenges, and the enemy's going to say, I'm winning. They're giants. There's giants. My family has giants in it. And even in Thanksgiving season, I'm aware of the fact that there are spiritual wars that are going on in my family. What about your family? And I'm, you know what? I'm thankful because God is telling me this morning, it's not you, Jonathan. It's we are going to see my work accomplished. I'm going to use you. I'm going to speak through you. I'm going to work through you. And I'm going to cause them to be jealous of who I have made you to be. They will look at you and they will say, how could that happen with somebody like that? Because of God. Because of God. We have some very unusual things happening politically right now that I believe God is just stirring some things up and turning some things over, and we have prayed for this, and it looked like it would be totally impossible, but I believe God said, I'm still God of the mountain. I'm still God of the promised land. I'm still God of my people. I'm still God over those who will believe and receive my word. And so I like this in Mark's gospel where the disciples went everywhere, preached, and the Lord worked with them, confirming what they said by miraculous signs and wonders. That is pretty awesome. So then when I got to that and I'm thinking about, so God went with them everywhere. So there's never a place in my life or a time in my life or a place in your life or a time in your life where God is not working with you. And we don't always feel it, but it is very true. So when I was looking at this word everywhere, I thought, well, let me just do a little search and find out how many everywheres there are and what else God has to say about what he's going to be doing everywhere. And it was like 40 scriptures, so I didn't bring them all. I'm not going to read them all to you this morning. But what I found out was that everywhere is exactly what the word means, that God's plan is to work with you and me everywhere. This is His plan. And so that means in all things. So the advancement. I'm glad there's a Joshua in the Word of God. Do you like that? Joshua chapter 1, I like that. Let's go there and just see a little more of the rest of the story. I see Judges, so Joshua's got to be close. Joshua 1. Joshua chapter 1, look at this. This is awesome. Just the first couple verses. Chapter 1, verse 3. Or let me just start with verse 1. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, "Now that my servant Moses is dead, you must lead my people across the Jordan River into the land I'm giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses." We say that God is the same yesterday, today, forever. Sometimes the enemy will say, "Well, yeah, you heard that testimony. That person was healed, and God did this supernatural thing, and God did that supernatural thing." But that's not you. I'm talking to a dear friend of mine. He's a Brazilian pastor this week. And I love to go see him. And so we're talking on the phone, and I'm like, you know, I'm not going to be able to get up there for a few days. And he's like, well, I really want to see you. I need to tell you all that God's been doing. And when I go to see him, it's like he's been packing all of these miracles into this big treasure chest. So when I see him, he just pulls the lid off, and for like an hour, he just tells me miracles. It's awesome. I love to get with this guy. And then he goes, "And I've got to lay hands on you, and I've got to pray for you, Jonathan, because every time I pray for you, what I keep hearing God say is, I'm going to be faithful, Jonathan. What I showed you, just keep following me. I'm going to accomplish that." And so he said, "Okay, do you have enough time for just one miracle?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'd have enough time for, I could certainly have time." So he says, "Well, you know," he said, "when I moved into my house 18 years ago, I said, Lord, I know I'm in a hurricane area. I'm asking you to protect my house." So he said, all these years have gone by. But he said he just got notice within the last, I don't know, couple months or so that his insurance company is dropping his coverage. And he said, "I know why, because my roof is too old." And so he said, "I had to kind of change my prayer a little bit because I'm now saying, Father, what do you want me to do with your roof? Because it's a little old and I can't get insurance, and what do you want me to do?" And so he said he was in prayer about that, and he said, "You know, the hurricanes went up, there's no problem." And he said, "Hallelujah, God, you protected me again." But he said, "You know, when the tornadoes were blowing around up in, you know, Fort Pierce and Port St. Lucie up there," he said, "it sounded like somebody was walking on my roof. I heard this sound up on my roof." And so he said, "You know, after the storm, I went out, I looked at my roof," and he said, "it's like somebody came with a big vacuum sweeper and just sucked up tiles from all over on my roof." He said, "I have this tile roof." So I said, now I'm like, "Okay, God, now what do you want to do with your roof?" He said, "Now the insurance company that's canceling me, they're covering me through the end of the year, so they're responsible now." So he said, "I went to my Jewish attorney friend down in Boca or somewhere, and he said, I told him what happened and said, I don't want a patch in my roof. I want a new roof." He said, his attorney friend said, "Now this could take a year, it could take 2 years. You know, this is not an easy thing to do. The insurance company is not going to want to pay." And my friend said, "So it was an opportunity to tell my Jewish friend, I'm a child of God and God takes care of his property. And so I'm trusting God. God is going to provide." The attorney said, "Yes, yes, that's nice. But I'm telling you, it's going to take a year to 2 years to get the money, and we're going to have to fight. It's going to be a big deal." And my friend said, "No, it's not going to take a year or 2 years. I'm a child." You see, he understood that God was working with him even when things were coming apart. I think sometimes we've missed the opportunities that God had for us because we've tried to resolve the issues on our own. He said, "I told him again, you don't understand. I'm a child of God, and God takes care of his kids. And so this is going to be resolved very quickly." And the attorney sort of did one of those things like I've had attorneys do before, you know, sort of said, "Okay, that's nice." Well, 2 weeks later, a check for $50,000 showed up in his mail to take care of his roof. And it not only is going to take care of his roof, he said, "I don't want another tile roof. I'm going to put a shingle roof on." So I'm sure he's going to make some money in the process of it. But he was just saying, Jonathan, we have to recognize that God wants to work with us, that amen. So the advancement, Romans 8. You familiar with Romans 8? Anybody familiar with Romans 8? Well, did I finish what I wanted to share here? Sort of, yeah. No, I didn't. I'm not going to leave Joshua yet. Hang on. I promise you what I promised Moses. Everywhere you go, you will be on land I've given you. From the Negev Desert, I'm still in Joshua. In the Negev Desert in the south, to the Lebanon Mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River on the east. Watch out, nations is coming after Israel. This is God's land. No one, verse 5, will be able to stand their ground against you as long as you live. For I will be with you, as I was with Moses. I will not fail you. I will not abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you will lead my people to possess all the land I swore to give their ancestors. Be strong and very courageous. Romans, we're going to close with this. Romans 8:31. Ushers, let's get ready to pass the communion elements. Romans 8:31. What can we say about such wonderful things? If God is for us, He's not just for us, He's with us. If God is for us, who can ever stand or be against us? Since God did not spare, and this is the verse I want you to get, as we're going to break bread and have communion together. Thank you, Blanche, for coming up. Verse 32. Since God did not spare even His own Son. Now let's say all that together. Since God did not spare even His own Son. Think about that for just a moment. Since God did not spare even His own Son. Dick, if you're listening, I want to tell you, brother, I love you. We got a lot of friends that are watching and listening this morning. Dick was told he would never have any more children. He'd had a surgery years earlier, and he had remarried. He had come to the Lord. His wife had come to the Lord, and he was told, you can't have children. When Joshua came along, honey, we remember Joshua coming along. There was a child that came. His name was Joshua. And Chick one day got up to lead communion, and Chick said, you know what? I don't understand that kind of love that God had for me, that God would give His one and only Son. Chick said, I now have a son. His name is Joshua. He said, I just don't have it in me to give my one and only Son away to save anybody else. He said, I just couldn't do that. I can't understand that kind of love. This verse in Romans is calling us to think about the depths of God's love that is given to us. Since God did not spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. Won't God? Now you got the first part, right? Since God didn't spare, gave Him up for us all. Now it's a setup. Since God, won't God? So we have, since God did that, won't God, who gave us Christ, also give us? Now there's a really big word next to it. Everything. What does everything mean? Go check it in the Greek. It means everything. Go check it in the Word of God. It means everything. It means all things. It means everything. Since God did not spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, won't God, who gave us Christ, also give us everything else? And I know some of you don't write in your Bibles, but I write in my Bible, and I put next to it, yes! Is this a question, God? I get it. I understand. I receive that. And as I was reading that, I got stuck there, and I was thinking, I was meditating on that. And now I have all these thoughts. We can certainly advance in every area of our life where God is calling us to step forward. And we can exercise our faith, and we must exercise our faith, because our faith is the only thing that releases and ignites that miraculous intervention of God in and through our lives. We have to have that. And so I'm thinking, yes, we can certainly advance. Because the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. Family, the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. I just believe we're moving in. There are some new things. In fact, I received some information about the letter 8, you know, new beginnings. And it was from our Michael Ben Snyder. So Michael, if you're listening, yes, I read your note. And I said, Michael, yes, I agree. I believe that God has, at this time in our lives, whether you are in your teens or younger, or you're like Malachi that's coming along, you know, we have the Alpha and the Omega, and Malachi is the Omega. He is like, God's not finished yet. There's a work to be done, right, Tanisha? There's a work to be done. And so I sense that God is saying, I'm not finished with America yet, and I'm not finished with getting my word out through my people yet. And so don't retire from the great assignment that I've called you to. Because He hasn't left us. He's with us. He's with us. So now God, since God did not spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, won't God, who gave us Christ Jesus also, give us everything else? And who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for His own? Who dares to do that? Now, there's some of you in this room that have been robbed. You've been taken advantage of. You've been scammed. I want to encourage you to do something. Put that into God's hand, whatever it was. Put it into God's hand. Say, God, this was yours anyway. I want you to take care of it. I'm not going to carry it anymore. I'm not going to carry the hurt. I'm not going to be burdened with it. I'm going to put it in your hand. It was yours in the beginning. And so, Father, I ask you to make me wise. If I did something stupid, then forgive me. Now, maybe you don't ever need to pray that prayer. I pray that prayer. If things aren't working well, I just say, now, God, if I did something stupid, please forgive me. And I would like for you to let me know what I did, so maybe we can learn from that. And put it into God's hands and say, God, you have always been my provider. I'm going to trust you. But listen, as a family, God wants us to be smarter and to not open the door to the enemy and to grow in grace and be able to stand with one another and help one another. So everything. Won't God, who gave us Christ, also give us everything else? So, in Matthew, there's another scripture. Matthew 6, 33, you know it, don't you? But seek ye first, say it with me, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all what? Oh, sounds like anything again. Sounds like all things again, doesn't it? And all of these things. God says, put me first, honor me first, follow me first, and I know about the clothing, the housing, you know, the food. I know about all that. I'm going to take care of you, church. And when God shows up, He's not limited by any of our limitations. He's a faithful God, faithful God. Father, I just thank you this morning for an opportunity to be with your people. Father, this last week, as you have just walked me through the miracles and the different things that brought us as a church to where we are today, I have to just say thank you, Father. You've let me walk with heroes of the faith. And in this family, we have had giants in the kingdom of God who have walked and served and ministered and gone to other nations. And Father, you are still at work with us as a family. And Father, I just give praise to you that you didn't say if 1,000 or 2,000 are with us that you can do something. You said if just 1 or 2 will agree, or 2 or 3 will agree, that you'll show up. Father, I've watched some movies and I've been to some plays and I've been involved in productions. But Father, I want more than a production of man at Abundant Life. I want the living, breathing, operating power of the Holy Spirit. And Father, this is what this world needs. This is what our city needs. So Father, this morning we cry out to you that we would be partners with you to the full extent of the possibilities that you have for us. God be the glory. God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Thank you, Father. God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things He hath done. His blood He has saved me. With His power He has raised me. To God be the glory for the things He hath done. To God be the glory.
To God be
the glory. God,
glory
for the things He hath done. With His blood He hath saved me. With His power He hath raised me. To God be the glory for the things He hath done. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We prepare to take communion this morning. I want to just give you an opportunity to do what God's been saying to me. Jonathan, I want you just to remember again that you're not alone. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And that we're in this together. We're in this together. Father, we just invite you to be King and owner of our homes. To rule over our house. To put a hedge of protection around us as we go forth and we come in. Father, we just acknowledge that you are the CEO of our finances. You're the chief financial officer. You're in charge. You're going to take care of us. You know how to balance the budget. You know how to take care of the needs. You know how to provide the bread that's needed. You know how to strengthen us in the midnight hour and in the midst of our tears. and you're a great shepherd. And you know how to reach our wandering sheep and our family. We just call upon you and enter into that partnership anew and afresh with the great shepherd of our soul and for our families, because you go out and you search for and you find the sheep that have wandered, the sheep that have maybe ran away, drifted away. You find them. You know how to bring them back home to Father's house. Father, you are the general contractor of the big work that's going on down at 5600 Willoughby Boulevard, Southeast Willoughby Boulevard. You're the architect, you're the engineer, you're the financer, you're the designer and the builder. And Father, we get to work with you in our city. Father, we call you into those boundaries and dedicate them anew and afresh to the glory of God. Father, we're going to pray bigger prayers because you're a big, big God. We're going to allow you to stretch our faith in this year. And we understand that the miraculous is the currency in the kingdom of God in these days. So, Father, we just call upon you and say thank you for the partnership that we have in Christ Jesus. As we raise the bread and we raise the fruit of the vine this morning, the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we recognize that since you loved us so much, that there is absolutely nothing that is not available to us through the wonderful love of God. Father, thank you for giving Jesus to be our Lord and our Savior, our Redeemer, and our coming King. Thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus, the redemptive price. We celebrate this meal as your family, your body, with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, let's receive the bread. My friend, if you're watching today, or if you're listening on the radio, or if you're in this room and you've not accepted the gift of life that's through Jesus Christ, I welcome you and call you this moment to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. Declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. If you're a sinner and you haven't confessed your sin, then confess your sin. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I surrender my life. I turn from my sin. I ask you to come into my life and be Lord of my life. Thank you for dying for me, for living for me, and for coming to receive me again. Now we lift the cup and say, thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus. We receive with thanksgiving in Jesus' name.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name. And fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life, and have it more abundantly.
Are you tired of trying to rid your home of ants, roaches, and spiders? Have rodents invaded your attic? Are you frustrated